1 Corinthians 11, from verse 17 to the end of the chapter, verse 34. The title over this section in my Bible is the Lord's Supper, and of course it is. But really, it's the Lord's Supper in this sense: abuses corrected. We must remember that Paul wrote this section not to set out a discourse on the Lord's Supper, but to deal with abuses at Corinth, grievous abuses. And I'm going to look at this passage very briefly, and I emphasize that this is in a series of thoughts on 1 Corinthians, not a detailed exegesis. Much more work needs to be done than I am able to do here. But I want to give an overall picture, and the overall picture must be the correction of abuses. And how relevant this is today. I hope it will come over. How strongly I feel, and increasingly strongly I feel, that we today have so departed from the scriptural New Covenant position of the Lord's Supper that we've institutionalized it more or less out of recognition. It's not only us. It's been going on for generations, for centuries. Look at the corruption of the Mass, the Roman Church. Could anybody in their right mind read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and on, and read the gospel passages, and come away with the notion that the Roman Mass, with all its paraphernalia, is anywhere remotely like what the New Testament, the New Covenant, is telling us? Nobody in their right mind could possibly believe that what we see in Rome bears any resemblance whatsoever to what's going on here in this passage of Scripture and in the New Testament in general. But then I think of us in the Reformed and the Evangelical world. I think we've so institutionalized the supper as we've institutionalized church that we've taken it now out of all recognition. I think what Paul says in verse 17 can be said of us. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. And I think that could be written over the institutional church. Just one example. The number of people that I've met in my travels who are regular in church attendance, but unconverted, unregenerate, but the way they're treated, the way they're accepted, has confirmed them in their unbelief. The eternal consequences will be horrendous for them. We have done more harm to sinners by our institutionalization of the church and the gospel than I can express here in these short remarks. Our meetings do more harm than good very often. But in the Lord's Supper too, what does Paul say here? Well, first of all, when you come together as a church, as an ecclesia, now seeing we've lost so grievously the notion of the ecclesia, we've so, again, I use that word, institutionalized church, and we've recently moved ourselves from the New Testament position of a living body, not an organization, but an organism, a living body like bees in swarm, clustered close together, moving in ever to the center and out, comforting each other, warming each other, that kind of concept. We've become an institution, an organization. We're not an ecclesia anymore. But this is the essential. When you come together as an ecclesia, it's not a one-night stand, it's a marriage. It's not a set of disparate believers just are turning up at a meeting. It's a body, an ecclesia, a called out assembly, of separated, sanctified, justified, washed, assured believers in Christ. And they're so united to Christ that they're united to each other. That is an essential for the Lord's Supper. Is that with us today? I think we're in a different universe to that. There are divisions among you, says Paul. And to some extent, I believe it. And he spells out these differences and these divisions. You're not eating the Lord's Supper, he says. You come together and you eat, and you call it the Lord's Supper, but it's not the Lord's Supper. There's no love. You're not waiting for each other. One remains hungry, another one's eating all the food up, another gets drunk. And he goes on like that. Here again, though, here are things that challenge us today. When we take the bread and we hand it out in little portions and individual cups very often, all that kind of stuff is a million miles away from the New Testament. It's one loaf and one cup in chapter 10. And I don't just mean by that a literal one cup and one loaf, although I do believe that. But it's the oneness of the ecclesia. There must be no divisions. It seems quite clear, too, from verses up to verse 23, verse 22. It seems quite clear that there was a meal they were having there. They were eating bread together. They were sharing together in the cup. It wasn't just an institutionalized little ceremony or rite. What is more, if it is an ecclesia where they wait for each other and they know each other and they love each other and there's no divisions among them, then the megachurch idea must be out of the window. How can you with 500 or 5,000 wait for each other and know each other and have one loaf and all the rest of it? The New Testament is clear. These believers met in houses. They were house churches, not house groups, but they were house churches. They met in the atrium. And they were small buildings. They weren't large mansions in general. These assemblies were probably 50 and less. Might be a dozen. But it's this kind of ecclesia, body, remembrance, having a meal together, and thinking of Christ and all he is. Paul spells out in verse 23 to 26, the apostolic, indeed, magisterial, Christ, that's what that word means, from Christ himself. I receive from the Lord what I passed on to you. He's already said the following directives, apostolic. We need to get back to apostolic, even Christ's instruction directly on this. The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's the Lord. It's his body. It's in remembrance of him. It's in his blood. It's remembrance of it. It's thinking of Christ. The Lord's death. The Lord's return. Thinking of each other, but thinking of Christ and concentrating upon him. And all he is to us, and all he has done for us. A remembrance, of course, not an actual partaking in the sense of the literal body and blood of Christ. Therefore, if it's done unworthily, and that's Paul's point here, verse 27, we're guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. He raises the stakes here. He raises the level here. We are in terrible danger, brother and sister. If we have so institutionalized this Lord's Supper, or the church, the ecclesia, that we've taken it outside, far beyond what Christ has intended here, and if we break down with divisions, then we are offending the Lord. Brother, if you're breaking bread, but you are not talking with another brother in the room, sister, if you're gossiping against another sister in the room, we're breaking down this remembrance of Christ. A man ought to examine himself. What about these things? Am I seeing Christ here? Do I love my brothers here? Are we one together? For whoever, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, is that the body of Christ? Or is it, and I think more likely, the ecclesia, the union here, the drawing together to Christ of the believers together? Without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And judgment had come. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But we must judge ourselves in this. I mustn't gossip and break down and criticize and be offensive in the assembly. It's not to say we can't have opinions and judgments and criticize views in the right sense, but this bitter spirit, this breakdown of division, this aggression, this gossip, whatever it might be, the lack of prayer and love for each other. We are breaking down these divisions. If we're breaking down this ecclesia, if we're bringing up these divisions, then we are offending Christ. If we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. It's for our profit, brother and sister. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Know each other. Love each other. You couldn't go ahead without the others there. You want each other to be there. And the assembly is not to satisfy our earthly appetites. It's to satisfy our spiritual union together. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And this is not all. There's many more things I want to say, but these directives I do give you. And when I come, I will give further directions. So we must be apostolic under Christ, remembering Christ. But I think the principles here, I'm sure the principles here, can be applied right across the board. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Can I counsel everyone who hears me? I speak to myself. I'm in a cleft stick over this. I'm anxious about it, frustrated about it. I'm growing less and less in sympathy with the institutional church. But what do I do? How do I go on? May there be a reckoning up of these things, a looking into the scriptures. May we do what we can to recover the New Testament, the New Covenant position, picture, the New Covenant power and feeling and enjoyment of the gospel. We've so set up a system in the church. I keep using the word institutional, but that's what it is. We've set up this system. We're so building orientated. We're so set on this form and outward show and so on, that we have lost the spirit of it all. Not only in the Lord's Supper, I think in baptism, I think in preaching, I think in teaching, I think in the priesthood of all believers, I think right across the board. I think the apostles' words here are so relevant. The Lord's Supper, abuses and corrections, yes. But what he says about the Lord's Supper could be said about the church in general. We need to get back to Scripture. We need to recover the New Covenant position. May God give us grace to do so, brother and sister. May we examine ourselves, examine the Scripture, and come to Christ in a new way, in this living way. If an unbeliever is listening to me, of course all this has been in-house and for the believer. But don't forget, if it's so serious a business for the believer, think what it must be for you, my friend. But you can't break bread to become a Christian. There have been people, and people still, who think you take the Lord's Supper to get you to be a Christian. Not at all. Don't eat the bread or drink the cup until you have trusted Christ. I will even say, don't take part in the services until you've trusted Christ. Attend by all means and listen. But you need to come to Christ and trust him. Repent of your sins. Be a believer. And once you're in Christ, then all this is yours. If you will obey him, be in the ecclesia, and then you can break bread and all the rest of it. Baptism is the same here. Baptism has preceded this, of course. conversion has preceded that. Well then, may we be given ears to hear, hearts to love, and wills to obey, and minds to submit to what God says to us in His Word. May we listen to these apostolic counsels and act accordingly, for Christ's sake. Amen.